IRS on the Road, value-based parenting and life balance ideas from world-traveling family coaches. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
Hi there, and welcome back to IRS on the Road. We are so excited to be back. We're glad to be alive today, actually.
I thought you were going to say that. We had quite... You woke up this morning and you said, now that was one wild night.
We absolutely had a huge storm. I don't know if they call it a tornado, a hurricane,
or a typhoon. They call it a typhoon.
Kind of a typhoon. It only happens maybe once every year.
Well,
I don't know, or 2 years. I don't think it happens very often, but honestly, it was crazy.
Have any of you listeners ever been in a place where it rains like 2 inches of rain in one sort of 4 hour period? It's amazing. I mean, I think only one other time in our life we've been in a rainstorm like that. We were in a rainforest. But it's just hard to imagine how much water
falls
out
of
the
sky
in that short of a time. And we're in our little place here on Maui, which has a metal roof, and it was loud.
We couldn't even hear each other talk. It was so fun, really. It was amazing, but it just kept going. We kept putting more towels down in the bathroom because there was water coming in under the door, and until we had every towel in the house down, and the electricity was out, so it was totally black. Luckily,
that made it even more fun, didn't it?
That was more fun. Luckily, you had a Kindle and I had a phone.
Kindle, not a candle, a Kindle.
Right.
I was lighting my way to the bathroom with my Kindle.
And I was lighting my way with my phone. And actually, my phone has my book on it, but we had to turn everything down because it didn't have very much juice. And then no electricity. So it was a crazy night, but wow, we got a long way on our book, and it was really an amazing experience.
Yeah, we're reading a really long book for a book club, and it's amazing how much you can read when there's nothing else you can do because there's no electricity.
Right.
It's raining so hard you can't even step outside the door.
You can't have dinner.
You can't have dinner. What do we have? We had an apple for
dinner. I had a peanut butter sandwich.
Oh, that's right.
And I had part of an apple, too. And it really is amazing how much we rely on electricity. It is just astonishing. Oh, wait, we can't microwave anything. Wait, we can't turn the stove on. Wow.
Anyway. Well, let's do a little work. Oh, we don't have internet. You know.
Right.
Anyway, it was quite a day, but that's just a little update from us. And we're going to talk today a little together. Between the two of us.
Before we start, we should say that if you haven't been tuning in, we are in Maui.
Yeah.
We're not in Salt Lake or Park City or anywhere like that. We are in Maui, just so you know. Big island in the middle of the sea.
And we're starting to worry because we come here for 6 weeks in the winter to finish up writing and catch up on all the things we can't get to. And once in a while, once in a great while, go to the beach or have a little fun, right?
And play tennis.
But we're down to our last 10 days, so we're kind of rushing. We're kind of rushing to have fun before we leave.
Right. We have to get all that fun in. Anyway, we are going to launch today. We have an interesting thing to talk about.
Well, we want to ask a question to you and to us, to ourselves, and we want to explore it a little bit, and it's something that's been on our minds a lot lately because of a course we're doing, an online course, and probably a book that'll come from it. You've kind of gotten to know us a little that we sometimes are guilty of, writing books. But the question is this: how different is the second half of life from the first half of life? How different should that second half be? Are we the same people in the second half of our lives? And is our life the same when we're on the downhill side as when we were on the uphill side? That sounds a little depressing, but we have a little information on the demographics of our audience on this podcast, and suffice it to say that Majority of you, we won't say how big a majority, but a majority of you who are listening are probably statistically in the second half of your life.
Which means over 50?
Which means, what would you say?
Well, if most people live to 90 now, don't they? So,
well, let's assume 90. So if you're over 45.
No, that's not the second half.
Well, that would be.
I guess so. I guess so. We've been there for a long time.
Well, maybe we should just say from when you turn, let's say from when you're 18 and you're an adult, you're old enough to vote. Then if you've got maybe 70 years left, then I guess you'd be 50 or 55. So anyway, if you're over 50, this will be really relevant to you today. And if you're under 50, listen in anyway, because it'll kind of give you a preview of what you've got coming.
And it is fun, I have to tell you.
But what is different about the second half of life? Let's just bear down on that for a minute, and then we'll tell you a little about what we're going to try to do in this course that we're working on. What's the biggest difference between being in the second half of life and in the first half of life? What do you think?
First of all, I have to clarify, this is really your course that you're doing, and I am your person that's patting you on the back and saying, go for it.
Well, Linda always says that, but we basically
You always
do
say our,
together.
But this one is really your baby.
Anyway.
But what was your question?
What do you think's the biggest difference in the second half and the first half of life?
Oh, goodness, when you don't have to get kids to school anymore, or to lessons, or to gymnastics, or tennis, or any of those things, camps and all that. It just, so many things change. And it is kind of a delightful time of life. Wow, not that we hated the first half, but it was hard, really hard. Not that it's not hard now. Life is always hard,
so
which is good.
That's interesting, though, because you go right to the kid part of it, the raising kids, and they're you're probably an empty nest parent at the second half of your life, and that changes a lot. You're a grandparent. That changes everything in a positive way. Physically, you're not as fast as you used to be. Mentally, you're probably not as quick as you used to be, although our friend Arthur Brooks at Harvard says you just have a different kind of intelligence. You have crystallized intelligence instead of fluid intelligence.
I don't know if I like that. It sounds like that you're
a fossil.
You're fossilizing. Yeah. But we know what he means. It really is amazing because you have learned a lot in your life. You just through life experience, you've learned a lot. And you have a lot to give back because of all those experiences. There's only one way you can learn it, and that's to live through it.
And our person that we love to read as many days in a row as we can, Richard Rohr, the Catholic theologian, sort of says, well, the first half of your life, you create the container that is yourself, and the second half of your life, you fill it up. You decide what you're going to put in it.
Right.
And we would probably add, you decide what you're going to pour out of it. You decide what your contribution is going to be, what your legacy will be, what you want to leave with the world when you're not in it anymore.
Right. And that's a lot to think about. There are so many interesting things to do as you get older, especially when you have grandchildren. And not that they totally rely on you, but that you can really contribute to their lives. I was just thinking yesterday that every day I should write to four of our adult grandchildren who are over 18 or under. And there are a lot of them, because we're so far removed right now from our family, those little ones we haven't seen for a long time. So I'm just choosing four a day. And
you realize to some people, Linda, that would sound just absurd. Like, wait, you're choosing four a day. How many do you have? and you know, we do happen to have a lot of grandkids. And so you have to kind of divide them up. And we have ours in groups and we do different things with them according to what age they are and on and on and on. But back to the question of the second half, you know, it's just in our speaking, we speak a lot, as you listeners know, many of you, to business groups and corporate groups and organizations that are set up for leaders and so on. And And what's interesting and a little bit worrisome is how many people don't see their life changing. They're living, maybe they're 60 or 65 or 70 years old, and they're still living their life the way they lived their life 40 years ago. In other words, they're still focused on their resume and their achievements and their accomplishments and their next company and how much more money they can make and so on. And I'm not criticizing that. I mean, maybe there are some who would argue with the whole premise that we should divide up our lives into halves or quarters or whatever. Maybe to some it's just one long life and you just keep going as long as you can and you keep doing the same thing you've always done until you can't do it anymore and then you die. But we don't think that way. We kind of feel like there are seasons in our lives, and that's actually the best way. I think it's the most sort of artistic way to look at it, that we all had a springtime when we were young and growing and trying to figure it out and deciding who we were. And then we had a summer, which was full bloom. We're having children, we have posterity, we have families. In most cases, we're trying to build our career or our work. And we have an autumn where we're sort of slowing down a little bit, but in a way it's the most colorful, most vibrant, most beautiful time. And we have, like you said, Linda, the experience and the wisdom, hopefully, to be a little more efficient, to be a little more prioritized, a little more targeted in what we do. And then we have the winter, which is a time of decline and coldness in some ways, but also a beautiful time and a time when hopefully we think in a different way and are able to contribute in a different way. So there's a lot of ways to break down or divide or think about different seasons of life, but the biggest one is just, are you in the first half or the second half? And that's kind of what we're working on right now because we're preparing this online course. It's called a little bit pretentiously, How to Live the Second Half of Your Life. And it sounds like we know something, and we don't. I mean, we're trying to learn. We're trying to figure that out ourselves, but we like to do it with others' input and with others' help. I don't know. One way to think about it is for so many people, the first half of their life, what they seem to measure themselves by is their achievements, their accomplishments, how much they've been able to get done, how much they've been able to earn, how much they've been able to create, how much they've been able to increase their net worth, and so
How
on.
well their children have done, or have they not been able to do what you wanted with them.
Yeah. And then the second half, in the surveying we've done and the people we've tried to talk to about this, the balance, the pendulum swings more toward relationships. It's the relationships that really matter. And maybe that was true for your whole life, but maybe it's easier to recognize in the second half that relationships matter much more than those achievements.
Well, and retaining relationships with your adult kids is important, and it takes effort and time and thought because they have their own lives. And we are especially blessed because we have started something just recently called a fortnightly. So we're all British at heart. So fortnightly is 2 weeks. So every 2 weeks, we just get on a Zoom call and see how everybody's doing. And everybody can't always be there. We have a son, daughter-in-law, and granddaughter in Switzerland. And it's like 4 a.m. in the morning. They do not join, but and one in Maui, which is, 12 hours different. So they just come when they can. But it is really a delight to feel like we have that little connection.
So maybe in that second half, you shift the priority a little more pointedly toward relationships. You realize that's what matters. One other really quick way, and then we'll take a little break, and then we'll come back and really tell you about the course. But we often think of the five facets of our lives, right, Linda? The physical, the mental, the emotional, the social, and the spiritual. And one way to look at the second half of life is you got to admit you are going to experience some degree of decline, hopefully not dramatically and hopefully not clinically, But you will decline physically and mentally. But what about the other three facets? Perhaps it's in that second half that the full flower, the full realization of the social and the emotional, and most importantly, the spiritual, takes place. So if the graph's turning down a little on physical and mental, maybe it turns up dramatically on the social, the spiritual, and the emotional. That's an optimistic thought. 3-2. The second half, you're going up on three of them and only down on two of them.
That's a good thought. And we'll leave you with that for just a moment while we take a break, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Iyer's on the Road. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
And we're back, talking about the second half of life. This has made me think about some things I haven't thought before, too. I mean, did I accomplish all I wanted to in the first half? Or we can't always do everything, but the second half, we really need to think about, because we do have a little more flexibility. We do have ways that we can design our own future, because we don't have so many things hanging on us. And as far as things like children and pets and stuff, it really is a delightful time when you can really think. But I find that it's hard for me to keep my mind on, I can still contribute, I can still do this, because what I feel like I'm doing is people give me responsibilities, I get a new job at the church, or I have the responsibility to do the class reunion or whatever it is, and then I feel like I'm putting out fires, I'm just trying to accomplish what people want me to do, instead of realizing that that is what I'm here for. That is a joy to be able
to help. We can be deliberate, we can live a second half the way we choose to live it, and look at it as a privilege. That's a good point.
Right.
So if you were on your computer right now, I mean, what I just did is I went to valuesparenting.com, all one word, valuesparenting.com. And then there's a little drop-down menu that says Richard and Linda Iyer, and I put my cursor on that. And the first thing on the list is how to live the second half of life, this course. And we'll put that link in the show notes. But we want to just kind of give you, because you're listening to our podcast, you deserve special treatment. Let us just tell you a little about this course. We're going to go just scroll down through this site. It says how to live the second half of life. And then it says how to live physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, spiritually, and communally, particularly in your family. And then on the website, it says, we asked Richard to give us a personal introduction to the course. Here is his reply. Now, this is kind of revealing, Linda, as you know, but I'm going to have you read it with me, because this is kind of an introduction to what we're trying to do about this second half. So this is me talking, and this is my quote, but Linda will help me read it.
No, you read the first one.
I'll read the first part. Let me start with a confession and an admission. As I closed in on the frightening title of octogenarian, I was only recently feeling like I'd truly learned how to live. How is it that it takes 80 years to move from treading water on the surface of life to deep diving into the clear depths of what our days and weeks and months are really about? How can I find myself starting the fourth quarter or the fifth set, and only now feel like I have my game where I want it to be?
How is it that no one told me, or that scripture and other wisdom did tell me, but I didn't hear, that there is a paradigm in which life's purpose, as well as life's pattern, becomes clear, and where we maximize both our identity and our joy?
How does one explain that most of the world and most of our spiritual siblings who inhabit it believe that happiness comes from the very things that rob us of happiness? How?
How is the key word and the key question. How is what we're here to learn? How is what we so often complicate when we should be simplifying? How is the point and the pivot of this course?
Most of us, as we pass midlife, have realized that the second half is very, very different from the first half. If the first half is broadening, the second half is contributing. If the first half is doing, then the second half is being. If the first half is work and plan, the second half is watch and pray. And if the first half is mostly about achievements, the second half is mostly about relationships.
The danger is never making the transition and just continuing to live with first half habits and perspectives. Another danger is trying to make the transition without acquiring the tools that it requires.
Most of us who are attracted to this course are in the first half of the second half of life. Now, I don't know, that's cutting a little close on me. I think I've entered into the second half of the second half.
Well, not me, luckily.
Yeah, I'm married, that's why people always, when we're out to dinner, they say, oh, it's so nice, huh, sir, that you could have a little date with your daughter.
Just kidding, I'm only 3 years younger. I'm not that far behind.
But most of those who are attracted to this course, we know are, most of you listening, are in the first half of the second half of your life. Though there are some that are further along than that, it's never too late. And there are some that are still living in the first half, but wanting to make the transition a little earlier, at least be ready for it when it comes.
The irony is that most people who do learn how to live the second half is late.
They learn it late.
They learn it late in that second half and don't have very long to relish it. The core motivation for doing the course is a hope that I can help others learn the best approaches and obtain some of the tools earlier in their second half than I did.
So you get the idea. So I wrote that for the website, and then it goes on to describe the course. Some of this is pretty interesting. Let's read a little of this, Linda. All the teaching and discussion will take place on the Marco Polo app among a closed group of registered members and teachers. Once you register for free as a How to Live member, you're included on a Marco Polo group. You should tell them about Marco Polo, because not everyone knows about it. And it's a wonder. We think it's kind of our favorite app.
It's a wonderful app. You can just load it down. Everybody in your family can have it. You can just pop in there and show everybody where you are at that moment, what's happening. I mean, there's lots of apps now that do that. But this one is especially good because you can do it with all the kids. You can do it short or long.
You can listen whenever you want. You can say, and that's how we'll teach this course. We'll say, here's a thought here. And it's not long. It's not like, oh, here's a half hour lesson. It's like, here's a 2 minute thought that'll fit into how to live the second half. And then people that are in the group can listen to that whenever they want. And it's always in sequence.
Yeah, you don't have to be there at a certain moment and, oh my gosh, I can't be there right now, and so on. It's just, you listen to it when you want, and then you tune in again next week.
In fact, that's what it says here on this website we're reading to you. Members can watch and listen to each of Richard's Marco Polo posts whenever they want, perhaps immediately when it's available, or perhaps when they're in a place externally and internally where they feel tuned in and receptive. Whenever they feel prompted, members can react and respond verbally and visually right there on Marco Polo. So I'm going to be leading the discussion. Linda's going to be involved in it at least once a week, but I'm going to lead it almost every day. And people who are in the group can just come on and respond. So it's like a discussion, but time to you whenever you want to come on and listen. There's no requirement to be there at any certain time.
There are just so many apps right now that are kind of like this. We're also on Be Real, which is just, you take a picture of where you are right at that moment and send it, but you have to do that moment, or you can do it if you're 3 minutes late, you can still do it, or you can do it later, but you have to take pictures. You have to send something in order to see everybody else's. This is totally different. There's so many going right now, but we really love Marco Polo because we have kids living here and there and far and, a mile away. And so it doesn't matter, we can be in touch with all of them.
And the way it's going to work is that people will just register for free. In fact, that's already going on, Linda. We've just started this just this week, and we've got 20 or 30 people already signed up. We won't let it get too big. We want it to be a size where everyone can feel involved, and it's completely free. Now, later, if we get to where we're going into a longer course, we may have there may be a fee to help cover the costs, and it may even be a fairly steep fee, but no one has to pay that. You can just do it for free and see if you enjoy it and decide if you want to go deeper. And so people are going to ask the right question. They're going to say, well, why should I do that? And there's maybe some reasons why you shouldn't. Like maybe the Iyer's life, their second half and my second half is very different. So why should I be involved? Or maybe I don't have time to do it, or maybe I'd just rather spend my time on other things, all of which is fine. The only thing we would say is consider this: how to live the second half of life maximally and joyfully in our physical, mental, social, emotional, spiritual, and communal realms is really sort of the core quest of our lives. And not that we're all going to do it the same way, but having some kind of a group, in this case an online group, and being able to listen to other people in that same phase of life and how they're approaching things, how so many things, right, honey? Like, how are you staying in touch with your grandkids? How are you trying to shift gears and be back in touch with extended family who you've fallen out with or who you haven't spoken to for years? Or how are you giving back? And are you going to retire completely? Or are you going to work part-time? Or are you going to start another career? Are you going to be volunteering more? Or are you going to become more involved in your community or your church? I mean, there's 1,000 questions, and no two of us will have the same answers. But thinking about them, I mean, let's face it, Socrates was a senior when he said the unexamined life is not worth living, right? So whatever stage you're at, if you're not examining it and saying, I wonder if I'm getting all that I should out of this, I'm wondering if I'm giving all that I could at this stage of my life, those are really good questions.
They are really good questions. And as you were talking, I was just thinking, on Marco Polo, you can ask questions and then other people can respond as well to your questions, because it's like a big conversation. I mean, obviously you're the main speaker, but if you have questions or if you have comments, of course you'll respond to them, but other people can also respond, and it really is going to be a fun group.
That's kind of how I hope it evolves. I hope it starts out with me sort of doing most of the posts, and here's an idea, and here's a thought, and here's an idea. But I hope as it evolves, it'll become more and more of a communal thing where people will say, well, I have a little different thought than Richard does on that one, and here's how it works for me. Or, well, here's a question for what so-and-so just said. And, you know, maybe you don't even tune in every day or every 2 days, but maybe once in a while you click onto your Marco Polo and you listen, you see what's going on,
and
see what other people are saying.
And you don't need to say anything. You can just sit and listen if you want. But if you want to contribute, it'll be a good place to do so.
By the way, I'm looking at this website, and there's Linda. She's just standing there, and we're out in the woods.
That was
it's worth going on
man
this.
Coat I gave you for your 50th birthday. Remember that?
Oh my gosh, it still fits me. That's a good thing.
Oh, I think it's even kind of big for you. But actually, the first picture is definitely not. Well, I guess we were 50.
Oh, the first picture is great because it's us with some of our grandkids. Well, let's not get carried away in our home movies here.
Yeah.
But again, we'll put the link in the show notes. But if this sort of whole idea of the second half of life and how to live it more joyfully and more productively, if that appeals to you, take a look, valuesparenting.com, and then click on the Richard and Linda Iyer and go right to it, or follow the link in the show notes and see if it interests you. And if it does, sign up. We didn't get too deep into Marco Polo, but suffice it to say, you just sign up and then you're a member of this group, and it's an app that you'll download on your phone, and you'll be able to go on it, and you'll be in this group anytime you want, anytime, night or day.
And if you
can't sleep, get up in the middle of the night and check it out.
And if you're really just not very techie and you can't figure out how to download an app, just ask your five-year-old to be able to tell you, or your grandchild, because it really is easy, so easy.
Okay, and lovely to be with you. And we're going to be here on Maui one more week, so we'll see you next time again from hopefully sunny Maui instead of rainy Maui. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us. See you next time. Bye-bye.